Listen, this is a really uncomfortable position for Gary Bettman to be in, I think, because he's in the crosshairs like he hasn't been in a very long time. He's got owners who are hurting, owners who didn't quite understand what they were signing off on in June when they signed the MOU. And that's really, to me, on the owners, but he's got some angry owners, and he has shown an amazing ability over the years to navigate that and to get everyone together on board, but it's tough right now.
7:34 on a Monday. Halford Bruff, TSN 1040. That voice you heard was Pierre LeBrun, who was on with us Friday, 72 hours ago, when we were trying to make sense of what the NHL's return to play was going to look like. And the NHL and the NHLPA sort of unofficially agreed to table all the financial talk and try and focus on the logistics of scheduling and travel and what team roster sizes are going to look like, all the stuff around this big looming financial issue, which, as far as we can tell, still isn't anywhere close to being resolved. So we thought, let's get Stu Gavin back on the show. He, of course, is the president of the Gavin Group, Hockey Wealth Specialist. He joins us now on the Halford and Bruff Show on TSN 1040. Good morning, Stu. How are you?
Great, guys.
Stu, I got a question for you. If you had to boil down this financial dispute, if we can call it that, between the players and the league, what is it about?
Hey, it's about, bottom line, it's about money. The owners in the business to make money, and players, if they perform their duties, expect to get paid as per their contract, or at least what they agreed to. And it's challenging because I think some of the owners could sit there and go, well, if I don't play this year, I lose X amount, and if I do, I lose double X. So, you know, it's to be a fly on the wall in some of those discussions would be interesting, but we're in challenging times, and it'll be interesting to see what the players and the owners, Altsy and Gary, work out.
Is it a liquidity thing for these teams, though? Because it seems like there's a cash flow issue for some of these teams, and they want the players to help out with those cash flow issues. And I suppose if I was a player in this situation, my retort would be, aren't you really rich? Don't you have access to lenders that you could help that could help you through this cash crunch? Because we signed a CBA agreement 4 months ago, and now you want us to defer more money.
Well, I also think that the value of the franchises, depending on what market you're in, vary, but they're of significant value. And the owners are going to work and do everything possible to maintain and continue to grow that value. Obviously, the players don't directly have access to that. And so they're just paid for, again, performing their duties. One person mentioned, what about future payments of franchise fees or new franchise fees, and should they be rolled into the equation? And of course, they say, no, that's off the record. That goes to the owners. So I think the players, from what I'm hearing from them, and is we came to an agreement, and we earlier this year, and we're willing to honor that, and we shouldn't be up to negotiation. We'll work with you in whatever way to get back on the ice, and so that we can get back to normal, and the owners can get their business is running again. But hey, it's a negotiations, as it happens invariably, and it's about money. And right now, Gary's got a bunch of owners that they have different agendas and different situations that he has to kind of come together with and agree on, and the players in the same boat.
What are you telling some of your clients, some of the players that might have been expecting to make so much money over the next 3 or 4 years? And I don't mean so much money. I mean, it just meant they had an idea in their head of how much money that they're going to make over the next 3, 4, 5 years. And now it seems like they're going to have to drastically, unless they've signed a long-term contract, they're going to have to drastically reduce those expectations.
Absolutely. And you guys may be aware, we just put out a video last week called Get Serious With Your Money. And it really talks around the changing landscape. And that is, you know, the salary cap has doubled from 2004 to now, but given the economics and the situation, there's a flat cap right now. And it may be that for the foreseeable future. the players have already negotiated and agreed to at least a 10% deferral and a 20% escrow this year, which accounts for about a 28% reduction in their gross salary. So that's two. You look at the market for the players, at least the free agents, just that market that's ongoing, but at least the initially 65% of the free agents signed for $1 million or less. Mm-hmm. And then to put the icing on the cake, even the top end players, the top six on average for each team will account for over 55% of the team's salary. So there's a handful of guys making, you know, a lot of money, and there's a lot of guys fighting for the rest of it. Hey, no one's going to cry big tears because a player is only making $700,000. No. They still make a lot, but relative to what they expect in their lifestyle, there's some a lot of uncertainty. So if they're planning on making $3 million contractually, given the escrow and deferrals, and even if they will play, so we're telling them now is you're in control of some things, and namely the your cash flow and making larger capital expenditures, you control that. So much is out of your control, like the virus, when the league starts, you know, how much you ultimately get. But at least what's in your control, focus on that and try to make good, sound, prudent decisions. And that's where we coach them and help them to make sure they're going to be fine.
We're talking hockey finances with Stu Gavin. Stu, is this where some players could theoretically get themselves in trouble when, I mean, a lot of them will be conservative with their money, but the ones who aren't, that have maybe have some obligations because of all the money that they've made, maybe they buy multiple properties and some of that is financed with debt, or maybe they get involved with investments where their money isn't liquid, so they can't just be like, hey, I need my money back. What do you tell those people about avoiding those situations, or maybe how to get out of those situations if they need to?
Yes. So, and I think you kind of bunch it into maybe three buckets for the players. You get the young player just starting in the league. They maybe have a more modest lifestyle. They haven't made longer term commitments. They're maybe renting in the market and of a car, and their expenses be smaller, but they also don't have a lot of money saved up yet. So the fact that they go for now months and months without another paycheck, and they still have a lot of their, you know, costs and training and just lifestyle. So they can probably adapt, but they might feel squeezed a little bit. But for sure, it's a guy's probably in the middle of the career that has, think they have visibility going forward and make commitments based on their contract and where they could be. And now, as I mentioned, the escrow and the deferrals and the fact they're not playing. And I said to a few guys, what if the league doesn't play this year? What if you only get the one paycheck you received earlier and you don't play? And how does that impact you? And so, again, comes back to what can we control? What can we alter given the situation? And are you okay? And you know, a big part of that comes down to, you know, maybe put off or defer making that larger decision until we get some clarity. Hey, even right now, some positive news on the virus and even the league, and talk that you know, hopefully we can get the guys can get back and play in early in the new year, at least start camp, and that's exciting because we all want to get through this. And, you know, even looking out 6 months in a year, hopefully that it will be behind us and life will be back to a new normal. So maybe just defer that for a few months until there's some clarity and or what you can work through and work out. Do that.
We're speaking to Stu Gavin here on the Halford and Brough Show on TSN 1040. Stu, of course, a former NHLer, now the president of Gavin Group, hockey wealth specialist. Stu, are any your clients here, have you come across anyone in your conversations that is genuinely concerned about not having a job this year? Because, you know, we had Thomas Drantz from The Athletic on the show last week, and he pointed out that there have been no one-way UFA deals in a month. There have been no trades since Canadian Thanksgiving. There's a real gridlock when it comes to teams acquiring players, adding players, signing contracts. And there's a lot of guys right now, full-fledged, long-time NHLers that are kind of on the outside looking in. Have you had any of those type of conversations with anyone yet?
I have. And I think you just have to look to where the salary cap. We mentioned a flat cap, and the teams have made commitments based on that the cap would probably grow and expand. And so they're being restricted in what they can do, and they're trying to work things out for themselves. Just like the question, what do the players do if they're into a kind of a financial squeeze, and what do they do? So everyone's trying to work through this and figure out how it works for them and what they can do to be successful and re-engage when the season's ready to go and be ready to play. And but you know, I've had the discussions for the players that that are getting on in their career, and they might think maybe they're 10-year players, and with the changing market conditions, if they thought they're going to sign longer, now it's a question: do I take more of an entry level, not entry level, like a lower end salary or the league minimum to keep playing for a year or two, or do I even have a job? Because every year there's a lot of new, young, great, talented players that are coming to take your job, and you know, you have to compete. So there's some that are, hey, the great thing with athletes, they believe in themselves and they're invincible, and they want to compete. So they're willing to do that. But the other side of it is we all know at some point they'll be on the outside looking in, and their career will be over. And, you know, and that can happen pretty quick.
Stu, this doesn't have anything to do with what's going on right now, but I've always been curious about this. How many players want to keep working, doing something after their hockey career is over? Because we sometimes act like the players have to get everything they can possibly get while they're still playing hockey. But I always kind of push back on them, like, you're allowed to get a job after you're finished playing hockey. Like, some of these guys are still in their 30s. You don't have to retire from all sorts of work. What is the general attitude that you've seen from players about after they're done? You know, it might be hard to find a job where you make $2-4 million a year, but do most of them just want to golf all day, or do they, you know, like, they want to do stuff, you know, because you got to, I don't know, you got to keep busy.
Absolutely. So when we even first engage with a player and a client to help them in kind of a life map and through their career, one of my questions, what would you be doing if you wouldn't be playing hockey? Because, you know, and this might be an 18, 20-year-old kid, but guess what? That question is going to be asked of you at some point in your career, because it won't last forever. So we're constantly at least planting that seed, encouraging players to whatever their interests are during the season and off season to maybe explore those, because there is a lot of downtime for them. And yes, their focus is on hockey and training, but you know, to get ready and prepare for that eventual day when they don't have that job, it's us and them to commit to making sure they can amass as much capital as possible to help that transition. But, you know, I'm big on everyone has to have a purpose, and right now their purpose is competing and training. But when they're done, or if they can understand what that purpose might be post-career, that'll really help in that transition and that anxiety and the stress, and give them, you know, satisfaction in their life, because you need something, and golf, quite frankly, doesn't cut it. And some of the other recreational sports. And our goal with a player that, again, they can amass enough capital that they can maintain that lifestyle and not force them to get that high paying job. Cause quite frankly, they're not out there. They're not, you know, the guys, when they transition, maybe to get a job, they're like, for the most part, anyone else, if it's paying 50, 60 grand, that's what you're getting. And for some of the players, that wouldn't be, that wouldn't cover their expenses for a couple of months.
Stu.
So, yeah, if that helps.
No, that does. This was a great conversation. Thank you very much for doing this today. We really appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy the next little bit. Be well and be safe. And maybe we'll talk again as we get closer, hopefully, to the start of an NHL season.
Absolutely. Yeah. Keep safe, guys. All the best.
You too. Thanks. That's former NHLer Stu Gavin, now the head of the Gavin Hockey Financial Services Group.